Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him, and we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there is no one who can mislead him, and whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshiper and his messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb, who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from the two of them he spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and he will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. For indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So remember me, and I will remember you. And thank me, and do not be ungrateful to me. And this is from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 152. So remember me, and I will remember you. And thank me, and do not be ungrateful to me. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the benefits that, again, that we should be of those who remember him and receive the benefits of this remembrance. And this topic is, again, of great importance because it reminds us why we're here. What does Allah say? That he only created men and jinn to just worship. All the things that's happening in between, all of the work that we engage in, all of the businesses that we invest in, that's just extra. The bottom line is we have to continuously worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to remember Allah. We talked last week about those who are forgotten. You know, we don't want to be in that camp. We want to be of those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those are consequences. There are consequences for forgetting Allah, because that's what Shaitan wants you to do. He wants you to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is telling us to remember him. To remember him. That's the goal. Allah tells us, and also in Baqarah, and call to mind that those who were before you, who were more righteous than you, and more prolific in wealth and children. They left behind them a goodly heritage. Surely Allah is ever a protector for those who are rightful and dutiful. And alhamdulillah, I was able to go to a conference last week in Baltimore ran by ICNA, the Islamic Circle of North America, and MAS, the Muslim Association, Muslim American Society. And there were 30,000 Muslims there, and so they asked us to do some talks. And one of the talks we gave is Islam from slavery to El Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. And the other talk was the legacy of Islam in America. And one of the points I made is that there was a Mansa, his name Mansa Musa. He sent people to the Americas, you know, about 100 years or more before Columbus. And they said that, it was the Mansa before him, and he was telling a story while he was on Hajj in Egypt. He was telling the story. He said that, you know, he sent 200 ships, and he said, don't give out until you reach land or until you run out of resources. And, you know, so when we look at just this one individual, when he made Hajj, he gave away so much gold that the economy shifted. That's how much gold he gave out on the way. This is just one king, one African king, West Africa. And look him up. It's Mansa Musa. You know, and so that's just one of the examples. As Allah says, they were more, again, more prolific in wealth and children, and they left behind a goodly heritage. And at one point, parts of West Africa was the place where people came to gather knowledge, to learn. They came from all around the Muslim world just to benefit from the scholarship there. And so those are the shoulders that we stand on, brothers and sisters. They left, again, Allah says they left behind a goodly heritage. Surely Allah is ever a protector for those who are righteous and dutiful. And again, that's the importance of remembering Allah, remembering those who came before us, who are more righteous than us and more pious than us. And so, again, we're standing on their shoulders, and we have to ask ourselves, what are we leaving behind? Are we just going to the mosque, coming home, going to the mosque, coming home, going to work, coming home? But what are we doing to be able to establish the institutions that we need? We have to learn from their examples, and we have to follow in their footsteps. You know, we have to look at the institutions that they had built. They built, you look at Al-Azhar in Egypt. You know, it's still there. It's one of the oldest universities. I believe it is the oldest continuous university in the world. Muslims put that together. And we look at all of the advances in science that were going on while Europe was in the Dark Ages. As the poet said, you know, we taught you how to clean while you dyed yourself blue. You know, and so we have to be of those who remember where we came from. You know, even though many of us are descendants of enslaved people, and I don't like using the word slaves because the people weren't slaves, they were prisoners. They were enslaved people. But we have the potential to establish something greater than Al-Andalus. This whole country may not ever become Muslim, but if you look at Al-Andalus, that was one of the greatest cooperations of the Muslims, Christians, and Jews in history. It's Muslim Spain. I believe the Muslims, they controlled that area for probably about 400 or 500 years. And then until the Inquisition, and then you look at the year 1492 and what happened in 1492, a part of the establishment of this country was a part of trying to get rid of Islam in the world. And so part of slavery was to get rid of Islam that was basically being propagated in West Africa. And so we have to recognize that the battle between the righteous and the unrighteous has been going on since time began. And so we have to be of those to be in the righteous camp. And again, not just use this deen as a religion. You know, not just do a check off, oh, I got my salat in. But recognize that the salat is the fuel. The salat gives you the energy. The salat allows us to basically have this connection that others don't have. We have to do this. We have to do this so that we, because we have a lot of work to do. We have to build institutions. And if we're gone, the people who stand on our shoulders, we at least planted that seed to establish the necessary institutions. The future generations, we have to be able to leave something for the future generations to benefit from. Masjids, institutions of learning, healthcare facilities, interest-free banking. I was just doing some math earlier about if you bought a $300,000 house, and if you paid, some people are paying $2,000 a month for just an apartment, two-bedroom apartment. And they say if you pay a $300,000 house, you could get that paid off in less than 10 years or less than 15 years if you had an interest-free banking system established. So those who are economically inclined, we need to do this. One of the points one of the speakers gave to the young people who were in attendance last week at their conference, he said, y'all go out and establish businesses. Because he gave the example of how when the protests were going on in support of Gaza, may Allah free the people of Gaza, the billionaires got together and pulled the mayor up of New York and said, you need to clamp down on them because they're changing the narrative. They're basically making Israel look bad, the Zionists look bad. These were billionaires, and they had the power to pull this political, the head of the city, pull him out, pull him on the carpet. Hey, man, what you doing, man? And so I'm not saying we need to get power hungry, but if you have economic clout, then people will listen to you. And so to get economic clout, you're not going to get that working a job 10, 20 years, 30 years. The song say, I don't want a gold watch for working 50 years from 9 to 5. I want to be happy and feel like a natural man. You know, don't be a wage slave. Establish the businesses as well, and then that way we can get the institutions. Because even when I was reading about how Islam even came into Africa, it said that most of the Dawah efforts, there was no armies going into Africa. The Dawah efforts, the more merchants spread the deen in Africa than the soldiers. Because you have these so-called Orientalists will say, well, Islam was spread by the sword. No, it was spread, you take that S off, it was spread by the word. And so we have to spread it by the word. And Allah has given us all of this technology to use it. All this digital stuff. AI, everything. And AI is just a tool. Don't be afraid of it. You know, we have to use all of the methods. If you get engaging in conversations and people, look for that dawah moment, brothers and sisters. We have to spread it by the word. Again, we don't have to spread it by the sword. All you have to do, I remember reading about a man who came to Islam. He just read the first verse of Baqarah where it said that, this is the book that makes things clear. Boom. Another person read, "This day I have perfected your religion and bestowed upon you Islam as your way of life." They became Muslim. And you never know how a person is tuned for them to come to this deen. We want to be of the remembered and not of the forgotten. Again, it's important for us to implement Islam as a way of life in this society if we're going to be living in this society. Because if we're going to be living here, the scholars say, if you're in a majority non-Muslim or not yet Muslim society, you need to be there for business, education, or dawah. Business, education, or dawah. And that's for people who come from a majority Muslim country. But if we use that as the rubric, if we're here, what are we doing? Are we in business? And then when you're in business, you're interacting with people. And again, the merchants did a lot to spread this deen. If you're getting education, make sure that the education is something that can be used fi-sabilillah, for Allah's pleasure. Whether you're in science, whether you're getting involved with medicine, or if you want to learn business techniques so that you can be righteous in business and learn the correct way of doing business. If you're going to get into politics, to study the science of politics, because again, it's a science, as they say. Politics is, again, I would say war is politics without guns. And, politics is war without guns. And so we have to be of those who learn the science of politics, or political science. And so these are some of the things that we can do to be remembered, specifically during these times, because, again, the political winds may move against us. And, Allah knows best, what's going to happen. And so we have to be of those to increase our ibadah, increase the knowledge of Quran, as I mentioned before. Increase your knowledge of the deen. Increase your knowledge of the Prophet, peace be upon him. We have to increase our ibadah. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, specifically with prayer. There was one poet, Sheikh Suleiman, rahimahullah, he said that the stream in which I bathed my face helps me soar above this place. And he was talking about, he was basing it on the salat, on the hadith. The stream in which I bathed my face helps me soar above this place. Lead me not to wander in disgrace. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if there was a river at your door and he took a bath in it 5 times a day, would you notice any dirt in him? And he was talking to his companions. They said, not a trace of dirt would be left. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, that is the parable of 5 prayers by which Allah removes sins. Stream in which we bathe our face helps us soar above this place. Lead us not to wander in disgrace. Because again, if we forget Allah, then he gonna forget you. If he remembers Allah, if we remember Allah, he gonna remember you. And so be prayed up, or we gonna get prayed on. again, even if our souls are taken in the process of working to establish this deen, as Allah says, and never think of those who have been killed in the cause of Allah as dead. Nay, they live with their Lord, receiving provision. Again, this reminds us that those who are martyred in the cause of Allah are not dead, but alive with our Lord. And again, the Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Tamir, rahimahullah, said on this interpretation, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah has bestowed His grace, of the prophets, the Siddiqun, again, or the followers of the prophets who were the first and foremost to believe in them, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, the martyrs and the righteous. That's what happens with the martyrs. And again, we look at the four degrees of Allah's slaves. The best of them are the prophets, the Siddiqs, and then the martyrs, then the righteous. We have to look at what camp will we be in. Are we going to be in the remote camp that we spend all day playing that remote, or just on the computer all the time? Are we going to be actively involved in giving people the knowledge of this deen? Because, again, this society, this world needs Islam. It is in such condition, it's infected with disbelief. And so we have to be the medicine for this society. Again, those people are remembered by Allah, and He provides for them, and we should strive again to follow in their footsteps and make sacrifices, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing again that we will be remembered by Him, you know. And again, I don't like using the word work, but we have to invest in our akhirah. We have to invest in the hereafter, in what we do in this phase of life. Just like how our mothers nurtured us during our 9 months in the stomach, we have to nurture our soul, because again, this is just a middle womb. This is just a womb for the soul. Because true life begins when we leave this plane, after we pass the barrier of life and death, the barzakh. So again, what are we doing to be remembered? You know, what are we doing to be of those who are of the righteous and try to be in the company of the righteous? And if I've said anything which is inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet, peace be upon him, has left for us, I take responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله هم وهو على كل شيء قدير. O Allah, send peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his family and his companions. And Allah, increase his honor and elevate his station, and grant him a highest place in paradise, and bless him with your divine mercy. And O Allah, bless us with his intercession on the day of judgment, and forgive our sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best people are those who are remembered by Allah. The best people are those who are remembered by Allah. And again, this hadith reminds us that we want to be among the best people. And there's so many opportunities. You know, we give charity, you know, we teach, you know, we do things around the masjid. We basically treat each other right. But the whole thing is to recognize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his mission is to improve character, to improve character. And so the Islam should be something that washes away the filth in the heart, washes away the filth that's in the soul. And then what happens is that we make the prayer, and as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, like a river at your door. And so are we just walking across the bridge, or are we dipping in to get that bath, that spiritual bath? We should strive also to do as many good deeds, again, and avoid the sins. Avoid the sins and be obedient to Allah in all the things that we do. And what we want to strive to be among those who are remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want to make sacrifices for His sake. And we must learn from the examples of those who came before us and left behind the heritage. You know, because again, I remember reading about how there was a scholar who was taken into slavery in the islands, and one of his doors was that the people that come after him would be Muslim. And we have to recognize, for those of us who are the descendants of enslaved people, we are the answers to their prayers. What are we going to do with it? And we need to pray for our children and our grandchildren so that they can continue this march, this journey to establish Islam. That's our role in here. And again, may Allah have mercy on us and again remember us in His presence. And I want to again remind ourselves that those who are remembered by Allah are the ones who are the pious, the righteous, and make sacrifices for the sake of Allah. You know, again, these are the ones who are remembered in their graves and leave behind a goodly heritage for future generations. Because even, as I mentioned, even about Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz last week, he's given dawah from the grave through his writings. And so if we're writing, whether it's poetry or we're writing books, we're leaving, you know, something behind so that people can benefit from, so that people can know that the Muslims were here. You know, again, may Allah guide us to inspire others and guide us to continue to do good deeds and avoid the sins. You know, we have to do the work, brothers and sisters. We have to invest. And if you've taken a break, it's time to come off the break. It's time to basically, you know, educate the people about this way of life. Because the people who are antithetical to Islam, they busy. They putting the work in. And so we have to be 10 times more superior in how we put the work in. In the old days, you know, people were given dawah. But people, there's so many Muslims now, they say, oh, we're going to rest. And then on the Day of Judgment, when Allah tells you about all this ignorance that were around you and you didn't do anything about it, what was going on? Oh, I had to do this and I had to do this. You have a million excuses. And so we want to be of the remembered. And for those brothers and sisters who are new to Islam, again, learn your deen. Get with a good teacher. You know, we have an Arabic class that's been established. And so it's basic, beginning Arabic. Learn the alphabet so that you can start reciting the Quran in the original language. And then take your time. It's not a rush. Take your time in increasing the knowledge so that you can be a useful tool and not a useful fool. You know, because you have a lot of useful fools in this society. And so we want to be a tool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector and grant us a victory over the disbelieving people. Iqamah min fadlik.